Father, we are aware that we are also not only citizens of the kingdom of God, but also of this country. We are also aware that the freedom that we have in this country rests on the shoulders of those who have given their lives. And this week and today, we just take out this time, Father, to remember those who have done so, who have given their lives, and we're thankful for their sacrifice. We're remembering those who were left behind, the families, relatives, that you will surround them with comfort. We remember those who are still at war, who are still fighting. We pray that you will bring an end to wars, that those who are in leadership have wisdom and discernment what to do and what's the proper thing to do. We pray for those war survivors who are disfigured because of being innocent victims of the war. Pray that you will just be their comfort and their strength in those days. And for us, we pray that we will be those kinds of citizens who promote the peace and well-being of everyone. And this we pray in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. So how do you switch over from that to our message today? Love your neighbor as yourself. When I was young, I grew up, as many of you know, in Germany, and at that time you still had to do your duty towards the country and go to the army and do your 16 to 18 months of army duty. And in those days, I wrestled with that quite a bit. You know, what am I supposed to do? Can I, as a Christian, really go to the army and be a soldier? At that time, I had a certain view of that, and I refused to go, which you could do. There was an option. But I had to go to court, and I had to defend before the court my conscience, which was way more difficult than I thought. I thought I'd go there, and I'd just tell them what I think, and they will take it. But that was not all that easy. They had very probing questions. Questions that actually made me rethink my position that I had in those days. It still, I was acknowledged as someone who was not able to go to war, so I had to do what we call civil service. So I worked with the Red Cross, and I was driving taxi, which I like driving cars, so I drove taxi and drove handicapped people through the town. That was my job. But that said, this gave me a lot of thinking about how do we act as Christians and how do we bring this together, especially when we today talk about love your neighbor as yourself. We remember that we go through these two commandments that Jesus gave as an answer to the question, what is the most important commandment of the Old Testament? And he answered, as we know from Mark 12, that he said that, you know, the most important commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. But then he says the second is equal to this, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself. If you would want to say it in different form, then what Jesus is obviously telling us, that to love your neighbor is the visible goal of the entire Word of God. To love your neighbor is the visible goal, is the visible aim that the whole entire Old Testament aims for, is that you, if I can use those terms, if it produces people who love their neighbor. That's the highest goal of everything God said, that you love God, and as you love Him, you love your neighbor. Very basic, but very foundational for the Christian message. That would summarize the question, what does God want? What does He want from us? And here would be a very precise answer: to love God and to love your neighbor. And both are equal. There is no one higher than the other. Both are equal. You cannot do one or the other. You have to do both. That also found its way in New Testament ethics. Ethics is the question, how do I act as a Christian? And ethics tries to answer the question. How do I act as a Christian? How do I live the way in a way that is honoring God? And that will then consider different scenarios and tries to find answers, as we all need to know. How do I live as a Christian in my environment, as, you know, the job that I have with my neighbors? How do I live as such? And when we talk about love your neighbor as yourself, we often, if we're honest, don't know how to sort that out. We might agree theoretically that, yes, this is what it says. I shall love my neighbor as myself. But then there is this pesky neighbor right there, you know, who gives me a lot of trouble, who is parties all night and, you know, I can't sleep. And here it says, love the neighbor as yourself. So how am I combining this? How can I love this neighbor? And what often comes in between this commandment and reality is those fuzzy feelings that we have in our hearts. That we often think that to love my neighbor, it has to do with those fuzzy feelings. I need to love him. Actually, what I wanted to do this morning, what it wasn't a good transition from what we saw in the video, is just to have you stand up and hug each other. It's a sign of loving your neighbor, isn't it? Really? See, that's what it is. How do we figure that out? What does it really mean to love my neighbor? How do I do justice to what God wants me to do? Is it this fuzzy feeling that I have to have with him? Am I supposed to swallow everything? Am I supposed to be always peace-loving, never seek the conflict, try to be quiet, not to cause a ruckus? Does it mean to love my neighbor? Am I not becoming a doormat if I do that? How do you deal with that? How do you love your neighbor? Very practical. And think of the worst that you can think of. And maybe you have one of those. And maybe it's your colleague at work. How do you love your neighbor? How do you do what God wants you to do? How do I fulfill this command? And I think that's worthwhile thinking about. And as I mentioned, the New Testament theologians made this their main point of ethics. They actually surrounded all, or took this as the main commandment and said everything else flows out of that. Example is Paul. When Paul talks in Romans 13 about how we as followers of Jesus Christ are supposed to be citizens in this country, or in their country at that time is Rome. And he gives some very basic instructions, you know, submit to the government, and government is from God, and you're supposed to be one who is a good citizen, if you will. And in this context, he says from, and if you read, I read from Romans 13 verse 8, he said the following, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Again, Paul takes it as Jesus did and sums it all up and said, if you want to have a general rule, here it is. Love your neighbor. That's how you're supposed to live. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the way how we as Christians function in this world. And then he says that it summarizes everything else that is said in the Old Testament as the laws that, or commandments that we know there. He says a similar thing in Galatians. There's a church in Galatia or in this area of Galatia that were struggling with different teachings. And they tried to figure out how are we supposed to live as true followers of Jesus Christ. And there were others who came into these churches and told them, well, you still have to keep the commandments, you know, the Old Testament. And Paul wrote this letter and had to straighten things out. And in this context, he writes the following, Galatians 5:14. It says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Here again, it's this summary. All commandments, whatever you, the Old Testament is writing about how to act and what to do in certain circumstances, you can bring it all to one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. That's how important this commandment is. Everything else seems to hinge on this. Or say it the other way. If you are doing this, then the Old Testament or God has achieved his goal with you. Paul says it in a different way this way when he instructs his young prodigy, Timothy. He sends him to Ephesus and he has to again straighten out certain things. So, no, don't tell me that New Testament church was perfect. That was just a whole mess. So and he had to do and negotiate all of this. And then he sends Timothy to Ephesus and tries to and give him some instructions what he needs to do. And at the very beginning of his letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1:5, he says this: the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. And he compares this to all the other teachings that were out there and some other folks that were preaching there. But he says our goal in all that we do, our preaching, the end goal of this command is love with a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. That's a good measuring stick. It's a good measuring stick of any kind of teaching, any kind of preaching, which I think is good that we adhere to, even in what we do here at Grace Point. You know, what does it produce? Again, bad word, but for lack of a better word, what does it produce at the end? Does it produce people who are loving people, who love others and who love God? Or is it producing people who are continually beaten down and beaten up and feel bad about themselves? Is that what our preaching and teaching is doing? Paul says the goal of our command is love, that it brings out of us people who are inspired to love others and to love God. Here it is again. The same words that we used again, the whole Old Testament, everything is pointing to this one thing. It wants you and me to be a person who loves God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind, and loves my neighbor as myself. So what does it then mean? How do I now love my neighbor? What does that really mean to love my neighbor if it's not those fuzzy feelings? Well, someone way smarter than I that defined this way. He said that to love a person means to want good for that person. To love a person is to want or to will good for that person. And I do think this is a very good description of what love is. To will the good of the other person. Because that fits. If you really love someone, you want nothing but good for that person. Ask someone who is in love, what does he or she want for the other person? The good, the best. And that's what love is in essence all about, to will the good. Because this is what God's love for us is. He wills the good for us. And that motivated him to act. God so loved the world. How much? That he sent his only son. For why? What is the reason behind that? He wanted good for us so that those who believe in him won't perish but have eternal life. So here it is in very essence. God wants good. And because he wanted that, he acted. And he did something very profound and very life-changing and world-changing, that he sets this straight, that he gives us a way of working and living in a way that's very unique, that we can love one another because he first started to show us what that means. And we talked about this in the last several sermons, that this is what it's all about. God started loving us. He started to show us what this means, to will the good for us. And if you still have trouble to know what it means, then we have to go back and read it, how he did this in Jesus Christ. So if we love a person, we will the good for this person. And I think this takes it out of this mud and mire of feelings, you know, where we feel. And because if somebody treats me badly, it's a natural reaction that in me there is hurt and pain. It's very normal. And we're not called to fight against it initially, because it's a normal reaction. I'm offended and I'm hurt. Somebody robs me of my rights and I'm angry. It's a normal reaction. However, we have to learn then how to deal with these reactions. What am I supposed to do with that? And see, here's the danger. You know, if I'm angry, the first thing that may come to my mind is to get even, or even to get worse, and just to pay back. But you see where the critical point is? Love means to will the good for the other person. That's where the transformation has to happen in my own heart first, where I expose myself to the love of God and get changed. That I have the power to do the good if I'm hurt, if somebody is mad at me or does something to harm me, that I do have the power to will good and not give in to my natural instincts of harming again and lashing out and doing the things that hurt the other, at least get even. Love a person is to will good. And our love for the neighbor is rooted in our love for God. If we love God, We love that He loves us. And we love that He wants to do good for us and for others. So we are totally in agreement with God and love the others. That's how it's connected. We love God. And if we truly love Him, then we love what He does. We love what He wants. We love what He stands for. And God is a God of love who loves people. And it wants the best for them, and He actually gave the best for them. So we are working in conjunction with Him. So now we're still answering the question, so what does it mean? What does it really mean to love my neighbor? So Jesus did not come up with that, actually. You know, Jesus actually quoted an Old Testament text. You know, two texts, one from Deuteronomy, the other one from Leviticus. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself, comes from Leviticus. And here he tells this comes out of the context of a whole list of advice that the Old Testament gives us how we are supposed to act with our neighbors. And I just go through them, and you have the text behind me here on the screen. Leviticus 19:9 and the following. He said, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap it to the very edges of your fields, or gather the gleanings of the harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time and pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner, for I am the Lord your God. In other words, to love your neighbor means don't be stingy. Don't be greedy. Be generous. Let what falls down, leave it there. And the Old Testament was very practical. No Testament in our time is a little more critical. I'm not a farmer, but I heard those my machines that they use today, that actually GPS or whatever figures out how to mow a field, and not to leave anything behind. It's actually phenomenal. But here it says, leave stuff standing, so that the poor and the needy can come and eat. Love your neighbor as yourself. And it says here, I am the Lord your God. You see this in this text appearing several times, where God says, I am the Lord your God. You are my people. This is how you are supposed to be. Generous people. And then it moves on, do not steal. So do not steal from anyone. Very clear. That means to love your neighbor. Don't steal. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Neither the time that belongs to you, nor the stuff that belongs to you. Don't take it away from somebody. Don't steal. Don't lie. Do not deceive one another. Don't be deceptive in any of your dealings with people. Don't be deceptive. That's in all of our life, with our business partners, our company, our co-workers. Don't be deceptive. Don't deceive. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Be honest up front. That means to love your neighbor, and that makes it no more clear. Don't swear falsely by my name. And so profane the name of the Lord our God. What does it mean with the swearing? Swearing had to do with confirming what I said, that it is true. And often then we add a swear or swear. I swear by, you know, that this is the truth. Why do we have to say it? Jesus says, you shall not do this, because your yes should be a yes, your no a no. It's a matter of integrity. Swearing has not so much to do with what I do in court. That's how we often alleviate this whole commandment. It has really nothing to do with that, that we're not supposed to swear there. It has to do with what I do in my daily life, that I am not, that's not necessary to make sure to others, but this time I really tell the truth. And what, the other times? You know how we do this often, you know, but this is the honest truth. We often say that, but think what we do with that. The other times is not. That's what we say, or imply. But he talks about this, be honest, straightforward, in your talking. That means to love your neighbor. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Be an exemplary employer. Pay whatever you owe. Treat your employers well. Simple as it is, be loving your neighbor. Be a good neighbor. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God, I am the Lord. My grandpa was blind. He received a wound during the Second World War and came home as a blind person. So I grew up with a blind person. We know this, and we also know the fun that you can make with them. We were not all as smart as kids. We tried to use it and misuse that. But it's mean. We know that's terribly mean if you do this kind of stuff. But what God is telling you, don't use the weakness of another person to your advantage. Don't misuse the weakness of another person. Don't do that. But honor those people. Don't pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great. but judge your neighbor fairly. Very simply, straightforward. Be fair. Don't be, you know, aligning yourself with a certain group, you know, and not be blind by that. But just see what truth is, neither to the rich nor to the poor. Both can be evil, as we know. Nobody's closer to the kingdom. Don't go about spreading slander among people. Don't do anything to endanger your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Don't do anything to endanger somebody's life. Do not hate your fellow Israelites in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so he will not share in their, you will not share in their guilt. It's a very interesting thing. But what God says, in other words, what it means, don't be passive aggressive. If somebody hurts you, don't know, moop around and try to, you know, if somebody is loud at the neighbor, next time you take your loudspeakers and crank them up. That's passive aggressiveness. You just go and solve the problem. That's what it says. Go over and talk about this problem. Don't talk about behind the back. Don't inform all the neighbors or other people about that. Go over and deal with it. Deal with it. That means to love your neighbor. Be honest, upfront, clear in your communication. And do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone, but love your neighbor as yourself. So do we get this? What it means to love your neighbor is to be a good neighbor. Be a good neighbor means to love your neighbor. Be someone that the other one should be. And be it first. And live it out. The way how Jesus puts it is that he says, I moved into your neighborhood. Jesus moved into your and my neighborhood. It says in John 1:14, according to the message, a good way of paraphrasing this, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one kind of glory, the Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Jesus moved into our neighborhood. And see how this pans out? Later on, Jesus tells a story at the very end of his ministry here on earth, where he talks about how he moved into our neighborhood and what we have done with him. It says in Matthew 25:35-40, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did and for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is talking here about people who generally do what is good. And the interesting fact is they're not even aware that they're doing it. They're not standing there before Jesus and says, oh, finally, you know, finally somebody noticed that I work my, you know, whatever off, and then I go do what's good and I support the people and I help the sick. And Jesus, finally you see that. You know what that is? It's simple pride. And doing this for all the wrong reasons. Jesus says when he comes and addresses them, they don't even know what he's talking about. Because it was so natural to them to be a person who just reaches out to the person in need and does what is right. See, that was the whole idea when somebody came to Jesus very smart and said, you know, you say love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? And he thought he was so brilliant and smart. And then Jesus tells a story. I think that's even the smartest story. Jesus is way smarter than any smart guy. He tells a story. The one from, you know, when the Samaritan comes and helps this guy who was beaten up on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he just did what was supposed to do. When you go and see someone in need, and I can help this need right now, I just stop and help this person. That's what the Samaritan did. And then Jesus turned the question actually around and said, the question is not, who is my neighbor? The question is, to whom can I be a neighbor? To whom can I be a neighbor? That's the question. And that's the challenge that this command puts before us. Who is my neighbor? And how can I love my neighbor means, to whom can I be a neighbor? Do what is good. To whom can I do what helps this person? Where do I have possibilities, opportunities to do and show the goodness of the kingdom of God? How can I show someone that God loves this person? That's loving your neighbor. And that starts when you leave the doors, that you go through this day with open eyes and open ears and see people around you that to whom you could be a neighbor. Very unexpectedly, that might just cross your path and you can be a neighbor to them. And that doesn't take big actions. It may, but it may sometimes be the helping hand, the comforting word, the touch on the shoulder, the hug, and say, I just am there for you and I want to support you. I want you good. And you do this because out of the overflow of the love that you received, because God loves you more than anything, as he does the other person as well. So, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself is all that I want from you. And you notice that little qualifier, love your neighbor as yourself. Many have made out of that all kinds of stuff. You read books about this. I'm sometimes interested, and I just wonder how they get there. But they make out of that that Jesus says you shall love yourself. It's a topic in itself. There's nothing wrong in itself. But Jesus never said that, and the text doesn't say it. It is an assumption, an underlying assumption that we love ourselves. There's no command to do that. And Jesus says, love the neighbor as yourself, meaning regard their needs as highly as you do your own. That's all. Regard the needs of your neighbor as highly as your own. In other words, just lift up your eyes from your navel and navel gazing. That's what we're good at. You know, my needs, me and myself and my little world. He said, lift it up and look at your neighbor and see this person as somebody who has the same needs as you are and contribute to the needs of others. See him, see her, and serve them with the love that Christ has put into your heart. Whom are you going to be a neighbor this week? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this clear command that you have given us. We thank you that you help us to be a person that truly represents you. And we also thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to come up with ways how you love somebody else and how we are supposed to love somebody else. You model that. You send Jesus, Father, as the example of what love means, of what it means to will good, and to what extent you were willing to go so that we receive that good. Father, I pray that we as followers of you are good neighbors, that we prove ourselves to be good neighbors of people who represent you well, and that we are practicing this skill of doing good and helping out need wherever we have opportunity and the means. Help us today. Help us this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.